You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, Lang Whitaker, Grizz Gaming GM, joins me today for a conversation about the finals, conversation about Kevin Durant, Taylor Jenkins, the new head coach for the Grizzlies, and of course, the Grizz Gaming update for the week. They played last Friday, split a series, lost 1-1 on Friday, and they go into a tournament this week in Orlando. So we'll talk to Lang about all those things coming up. If you haven't already subscribed to this podcast, please do so. Go to wherever you get your podcast from and make sure you subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. If you have a moment, please go rate and review the podcast in Apple iTunes. It really helps this show. And of course, go download the new podcast app, Himalaya. It's super easy, super intuitive. You can make playlists of all your favorite podcasts, and you can subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies right through the new podcast app, Himalaya. Go to wherever you find your wherever you get your apps from, the App Store, or Google Play Store, wherever that is, download the new podcast app, Himalaya, and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. Coming up next is our conversation with Lang. Welcome back to the show. Another edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast with Lang Whitaker. What's going on, man?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to have you back on as our weekly segment. Update on Grizz Gaming. But I also want to start off with the finals. Obviously, it was a fantastic game last night. Your thoughts on the finals, the Warriors, Kawhi Leonard, and Kevin Durant and all that?
Yeah, it was... It was a strange game. I thought there was no way the Warriors were going to lose that game. You know, they've been, it looked like the Raptors series to win, 3-1 lead, you're at home. But I just figured the Warriors, there's a reason they're a dynasty. There's a reason they've been to the finals for the fifth year in a row. And that's the kind of game that a really good team doesn't lose. And I just thought there's no way the Warriors are going to lose that game, even without Durant or whoever. No matter what lineup they put out there, I figured they were going to win that game, and they did. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to win game six. You know, they kind of summoned the ghost to get that win last night, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do that again for game six. Sure, it's at home, but, you know, Toronto had a bad game. They had a good game, and they still barely won. So I think game six, Toronto wins, but I kind of figured that game five was going to be the Warriors' game to win.
Yeah, it was a weird game. Like I said, it was definitely strange. Where do you land on the whole should have played KD, should not have played KD? I mean, I think it's just a stroke of bad luck. I mean, I don't really know how else, you know, how else to really approach it other than it just sucks for Kevin Durant. But there's been a lot of revisionist history today.
There has been, and as far as I know, none of those people are doctors, and none of those people actually examined Kevin Durant, and none of those people knew exactly where he stood and how, you know, susceptible he was to getting injured again. At the end of the day, Kevin Durant at some level said, I want to go play, you know, it starts and ends with him. And, you know, I saw, you know, Bob Meyer was trying to like, kind of say you could blame him or we could blame this or that. But at the end of the day, it's Kevin Durant's decision, and he went out there and played, and, you know, it was unfortunate. I haven't looked at Twitter in the last half hour. I don't know if they've had the actual diagnosis yet of what's wrong, but, you know, didn't look good. And I think for everyone involved, it was sort of like the worst case scenario that could happened. And clearly you don't want that to happen, but that's what happened.
Yeah, they. I don't think they're going to have the MRI until later today, so I don't think they're. Okay. I don't think they've done it either. I think, you know, like you said, nobody out there is a doctor that and knows truly what Kevin Durant was thinking. I mean, like you said, no one's forcing Kevin Durant to play. No one's making him hold a gun to his head and say, you got to go play. I mean, it's a situation where, you know, he has all the information and he's able to make the decision himself. And, you know, that's why the whole thing, like if a player can't play, there should never be – nobody should ever give any player shit for not playing, because it just is what it is. Like if it's their bodies and their health and their long-term, you know, it's their life. So, like, you know, I'm all for it. That's why I never understood the whole – Kevin Durant has to be come back thing. I mean, it was a fun story, but at the end of the day, it's all a situation where it's his decision. So, it was definitely weird, but, it sucks for him. I've seen a lot of this question go around too. If you're the Knicks or the Lakers, are you still giving Kevin Durant a max contract? You know, he's not going to play at all next year and coming off an Achilles injury, which is a tough one to come back from.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're not willing to do that, I can pretty much guarantee if somebody else is. So,
right.
do you want to get him in the fold and, you know, let him rehab with you or not? I mean, Durant's game has never really been based on athleticism. I mean, he's taller than everyone else. He's bigger than everybody else and quicker than everyone else. But even if he's not able to jump like he used to, I don't think it changes that much about the way he plays the game. So I'd feel comfortable giving him whatever contract he wants. And yeah, maybe he's not going to be able to play right off the bat, but you know, this is a long game. And I think some of these teams thought that if you could sign a Kevin Durant and another max player in the offseason, bang, all of a sudden you're a contender. And
right.
You know, maybe it's going to take a little longer than you thought, but yes, I mean, just because one team isn't willing to do that, man, there's going to be teams lining up to give him one of those contracts.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin Durant at 35 is still better than most players at 28, you know?
Yeah, and for sure.
Even if he just make him stand in the corner and shoot threes, he's probably still better than most players out there, for sure. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We will get into Grizz Gaming and what you guys did over the weekend. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Today's show is also brought to you by Grip6.com. Ultra lightweight belts with no holes, no flap, and it's a great Father's Day gift. Go to Grip6.com. It has a special offer for you guys. Go to Grip6.com/locked. That's Grip6.com/LOCKE. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Lane Whitaker, GM of Grizz Gaming. You talked about the finals. Let's get into the Grizz Gaming. You guys split the series on Friday. You guys won one and lost one, but you killed the Pistons on Friday. You played two games on Friday, but let's start with the loss to the Pacers. It was a close loss, only lost by 10. What was the difference maker in that game for you guys?
We had a 10-point lead in the second quarter. We had, I think, a 2-point lead at halftime. And then the third quarter, like, just offensively, we kind of drew a blank. And, you know, the Pacers are a really good defensive team, and we saw that firsthand. And then they started making shots, and, you know, once we got down, we just couldn't overcome that 10-point fourth quarter deficit. You know, I think that's one of those games where we learned from that. We, you know, it's something we're able to take that and say, okay, look, next time this happens, here's how we react to that. But, you know, like I've talked with you before, we have a really young team, and I think those guys, our guys kind of got down and just felt like, oh, what's going to happen? We, you know, we don't really know how to respond to this. And I think that's good to go through that right now and get that out of our system and have that experience. And, you know, I'm going to jump to your next question, which I'm assuming is going to be about the Pistons game, because we lost that game and it was disappointing and everyone was upset. And then an hour later, we had to play our next game against the Pistons.
Right.
And we bounced back and we won by 30 and we set a record for the most points in a game this season. So, I thought we responded pretty well to that game.
Yeah. You meant J-Rod only had 3 points in that first game. Dan only had he only had 4 points in that first game. They have 18 and 11 in the next game. How do you go from, you know, what's the difference? I mean, for you, how do you get them in a mindset to where they got to go from 3 to 11 and 4 to 18?
Well, we went up to our kind of locker room / dressing room and sat down and we talked and I let them mope for a little while. I figured that was good to get that out of their system.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, we got to turn the page. We got to worry about Detroit. And, you know, the Pistons had only won one game all season, but we all kind of went into it not taking them lightly. We knew that they were going to be clawing and fighting to get another win, and they were going to be kind of desperate, and we were going to have to, we couldn't overlook them. So first quarter, they came out, one of their players, Dev Goss, I think he had 16 in the first quarter. He was just red hot. And the score was tied after one. So I think it was 22-22. And we were like, all right, we're going to be okay, guys. Like, you know, they've got a guy who can't miss right now, and that's going to get him out. And then in the second quarter, we just kind of put the pedal down and blew him out the last three quarters of the game. And it was fun to have one of those games. We haven't had a game where we just kind of were able to win going away. And it was fun to play like that and to have some confidence and to know that we were going to be able to do it. The other thing, you know, that I think is the league counts point differential. It matters. So that's one of the tiebreakers in the standing. So it matters how many points you score in every single game. Even if you're losing, you want to cut that lead down as much as you can at the end of the game. If you're winning, you want to win by as much as you can.
Right.
So, you know, it's not running up the score. It's trying to get yourself in a good position down the road in case you're tied when it comes to playoff time. So, you know, we had 70 going into the fourth quarter, and we knew, like, we wanted to try and get 100 points. And it took us a little while, but we came close. So.
Yeah, I mean, and for those of everybody who doesn't know, like the way, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Lane, but the way the players' builds are, each position is exactly the same, right? Like every position, as far as like the stats are all the same, right? So it really comes down to really truly execution in this 2K. It's not like we're playing 2K at home, where we're just light layers better beyond what everybody else is out there.
It's they're all the same. So what happens is. Strategy matters,
right?
You know, being able to figure out what kind of offense we're going to run, what kind of defense we're going to run, all that stuff. So, you know, that it makes a difference. Like, you know, there's also different archetypes of each position. So, you know, there's five different point guards, five different shooting guards. So, you can have like a pass first guy, a shoot first guy, an outside shooter, an inside scorer. So all that stuff gets taken into account too. There's a lot. Even before each game starts, where you sit there trying to kind of play chess with the other team and figuring out what the best matchup is to put yourself in a position to succeed. The one thing I've talked to us guys about is I just want us to be able to go out each game and kind of do what we do, not worried about what the other teams do.
Right.
You know, like the best teams in all sports, you know, like the Spurs in the NBA, the Patriots in football, they come out and they do what they do. And you know what they're going to do, and they say, all right, stop us. Because we're going to do what we do. And I want us to be able to get to that point where we're able to come out and play the way we play and be confident and not have to worry about what the other teams do and trying to be retroactive instead of proactive.
Yeah. Mikhail, he's the guy you guys traded Toxic for, correct?
Yeah.
He had a good weekend, 16 and 28 on those box scores.
Yeah.
How big has he been for you guys?
Yeah, he's been awesome. You know, Universal Team was one of our retained players, and he's the other guy we've used at power forward, and he gives us more of a defensive look, and I think Mav gives us more of an offensive look. And, you know, Mav came out just red hot in those games. It's been awesome for us. And it gives us, you know, the ability to really spread out the floor and stretch it and give Vandy and May a little more room to work on the pick and roll. And, you know, you can't drop off the corner because Mav's going to make it pay. And he's also, you know, especially in that Pistons game, he was getting out and running and kind of spurring some of those fast break buckets and got a couple big steals. You know, he was great. So, you know, I feel like we have six players on this team who are all really good players. And you know, depending on matchups and that kind of thing, it will kind of dictate what lineups we go with. But I think we have six players who are who could all be starters in this league.
I mean, I'm assuming you're deciding starters based on matchup fit, what you're looking for versus each team, or is it consistently the same?
No, it's like, you know, kind of team by team, and it's also just how we're playing at the time, you know.
Right.
If we're kind of rolling, we're going to go with what's working. And, you know, I think that when Mav got here, we had like one day of practice before our next set of games. So, you know, he didn't really have time off the bat to kind of get in and learn our plays and all that stuff. And even today we were going over some stuff with him, you know, even though he's been here a week now. So we also have room to kind of get better, I think, and get on the same page. But, yeah, for the most part, you know, I feel like having those six players is huge, and it gives us the ability to mix and match and present different things to the teams we're playing against too, and kind of surprise them.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how that will work out going forward. Let's take another quick break. We will continue with Lane Whitaker, Grizz Gaming GM, after the break. Welcome back to the show. Talking with the Grizz Gaming GM, Lane Whitaker, about Grizz Gaming. You guys got a tournament coming up. Is this the second to the last tournament, or is this the last tournament of the year?
It's the last tournament before the playoffs.
So tell us about the ticket. It's down in Orlando. I'm assuming it's at ESPN Studios. Where is it at down there? Or is it at Disney World? Are you guys going to Disney?
No, it's at Wholesale University.
Okay.
Wholesale has a esports arena down there. So I think we're actually going to try and go to Universal Studios tomorrow when we get in. We get in around lunchtime, and we have the rest of the day free. So weather permitting, we might try to hit one of those parks. But yeah, the way the ticket works is, you know, there's three tournaments during the regular season. The first is the tip-off, which is kind of a round-robin-style tournament meant to, like, get teams reps and get you used to playing in the league. There's a mid-season one called the Turn, and then the other mid-season one is the Ticket. And the ticket, if you win the ticket, you get a free pass to the playoffs, basically. So there's 21 teams in this league. Only 8 of them make the postseason. So this tournament is a chance for a team that might otherwise be out of the running to get an automatic playoff berth.
You're telling me if no matter who wins this game, they just get a golden ticket to the postseason?
The tournament. You have to win
the tournament. The whole thing.
Yeah. So last year, the Knicks were toward the bottom of the standings. I don't remember exactly what place they were in, but they ended up winning the ticket. And they got a ticket to the playoffs, and then they won the playoffs. They were the champions last year.
Wow.
So, you know, it can happen. So,
well, and for you guys, I mean, obviously you guys are 5-6 on the year. You're probably a little further down in the standings than you wanted to. So this is a good opportunity to just go ahead and lock it in for the postseason and then just basically practice the rest of the year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we could manage to win this thing, you know, it'd be nice to be certain of what our future holds instead of having to fight every game. You know, we're one loss out of the playoffs right now. And so we still have, I think, 5 regular season games left after this, or 4 regular season games left. So we still have a lot of games left to play, but it would be nice to win this thing and to know exactly what we're doing. And then, you know, you could use those last 5 games to kind of tighten things up and be ready for the postseason instead of having to fight each game.
And is this one of the tournaments that I know that there's some of them that there's a quite a bit of prize money involved too. Is this one of the all like that, or is it just
each tournament's like that? No, each tournament's like that. There's I don't know exactly how much there is for this tournament, but there's a lot of money on the line for the guys. I don't get a bonus. I don't get a cut. It only goes 6 ways. So for the guys, there's a chance to win a good bit of money. And you know, some of the players last year who won tournaments and won playoff games ended up, you know, doubling, tripling their salaries. And I think, you know, for these guys, that just, it's an added incentive on top of making the playoffs. You can actually make some real money.
Yeah. So this is an important week for you guys. Like I said, for the players, money, playoff spot on the line, important week down in Orlando. You guys start off on Thursday night at 9 our time, 10 Eastern against the Orlando Magic. I don't know anything about the Orlando Magic. Is this something you guys think you can, I mean, I know you obviously can think you can win every single game, and that you should always think that, but it's something, you know, like this, are they been good this year?
We just traded with them. That's where Toxic is now. So, you know, each team has a guy who spent half the season on the other team. So, I mean, I don't know. It's pretty easy to scout the other team when that's going on. The one thing, you know, both of us, Orlando and us, I think finished 8-9 in the seeding for this. So we're both right kind of in the middle of the pack. Both teams have been pretty good lately. Both have been hot. And I think it should be a really good matchup. I know that, you know, we feel like we can beat any team in this league. You know, I think Orlando probably feels the same way. And I'm looking forward to it. I have a lot of respect for Jonah, their coach, and we know a lot of those guys on that team. We're all still friendly with Tox, Mass, friendly with some of the guys on that team. So we're just looking forward to getting a chance to play. And if we play the way we know we can play, then we're going to be in really good shape.
Absolutely, man. I think that it will definitely be interesting to see. Like I said, both middle of the pack, both something that you can – it's pretty much a toss-up. It's one of those NCAA games that are 8-9 seeds, middle of the pack kind of things. Yeah. You never know what can really happen. So I just need some – I need some betting lines on these games so that I get the inside track and make some money here.
I know. Before one of our games, Chris Vernon texted me a screenshot of the line for one of – you can bet on the 2K league. And I was like, stay away, man. I don't know what to tell you. I know.
Just stay away. I have no idea. Yeah. I like that advice. Before I get you out of here, Grizzlies hired new coach today, like 4 hours ago. It came out from Woj, Taylor Jenkins. I don't know anything about him. Most people don't because he's an assistant coach. But thoughts on it? I mean, it seems like a good hire. He's from the Spurs and coach started Brent Holder, but you never really know.
I know a little bit about him only because I grew up in Atlanta and was a Hawks fan before I came to the Grizzlies. And so that year, the Hawks, when Budenholzer was the coach and the Hawks won 60 games, he was one of the assistant coaches on that team. And I used to watch every single game they played that year. And he did the halftime interviews a bunch. So I was kind of familiar with who he was. And I know he was a G League coach, I think with Brad Jones, who's now our Memphis Hustle coach for the Austin Toros. And you know, he's been around the Spurs tree, basically. So he came from the Spurs, the Hawks, now in Milwaukee with Bud. I talked to somebody in Atlanta this morning who knows him and said he's a really good dude. So, I've never actually met him or spoken to him but I think, you know, it's kind of safe to assume like all those guys who come from that Spurs program all have the same sort of workmanlike attitude and, you know, get better day by day. And like I said earlier, we do what we do and you try to stop us. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see him get here and see if he can keep developing guys like the way Bud has, you know, and Kenny Atkinson was on that staff, Quinn Snyder. Those are all that – it's all from that same group of guys. So I'm excited. I think it's a really interesting hire and should be fun to get him in here.
Yeah, I had a friend that works on the Hawks broadcast down there texted me and said, you're going to love this guy. And I'm like, okay. Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, everything, you know, we've seen and heard, it seems to be good. And like you said, the Spurs coaching tree, Budenholzer is very good, super smart guys. So only time will tell. Lang, I appreciate it. We'll do it again next week after hopefully a big win down in Orlando.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right, talk to you then. Thanks again to Lang Whitaker for joining me today to talk about all things Grizzlies, all things NBA Finals, and of course, giving us an update on the Grizz Gaming NBA 2K team here in Memphis. He'll, of course, be back next week to do the same, to talk more basketball with us. And, of course, if you have not already subscribed to the podcast, please do so in Apple iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from, or just download the new podcasting app, Himalaya. It's super easy, super intuitive, and you can make your own playlist from any podcast that you love and subscribe right to Locked On Grizzlies in that app. It's all in one little package for you guys. So make sure you download the new podcasting app, Himalaya. It's a great sponsor of this very show. If you're still confused, don't know where to get it from, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.